It's probably the hardest thing that I've ever worked on.
I think of it as sort of a work of art. It's something hundreds of people created. It's a wonderful texture and depth to this world.
It was the most work, it was the most difficult, but it was the most fun, it was the most rewarding. And of all projects, it's the one that I'm the most proud of.
Yo, let's start the show!
Welcome to Court Killers. Our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the court-cutting revolution so that you have the information. You have the information you need to be able to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, on whatever device you want. I am Tom Merritt. And Brian, explain to me why we're hearing dead Jim Henson.
Okay, first of all, he doesn't go by – that's not his given name. That's a colloquial thing they call him around the ghost campfire. But yeah, that's Jim Henson talking about The Dark Tower, a movie that was well-beloved by its creator but was not the box office explosion.
Dark Crystal.
Wait, what did I say? The Dark
Tower? You said Dark Tower. Dark Tower on the brain.
Wait, the tower's made of crystal. That's the big reveal at the end. They get there, and they're like, the Dark Tower is a dark crystal the whole time.
Idris Elba.
Thank you,
like,
Si.
Yeah, he's just like, man.
Guns, shooting.
Doesn't even make sense. But the important part is that it's coming to Netflix, some kind of sequel.
It's a prequel, actually.
Whatever. It's more content. I'm very excited. As long as there's Skeksis and the other ones.
Darker crystals, more Skeksis.
Yes. And as long as there's the dude that goes, that one.
Yeah, a lot of that. That is not Fraser Cain that does that, but this is Fraser Cain right here from Universe Today.
Hello.
Joining us on Court Killers. How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Oh, heck yeah, man. Thank you so much all the way from sunny Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just showing that. We've had the worst winter in 60 years out here, and now we've got like day after day of sunshine coming at us. I've been outside nonstop. It's the best.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. And and so no more vitamin D supplements?
Nope.
Good.
Why are you talking about vitamin D, Tom?
Because my doctor prescribed me to wear shorts. She's like, look, you can take a vitamin D supplement, or you can admit you live in effing California, Merritt, and go outside in the sun.
I'm going to out you. You were actually prescribed to wear shorts shirt, but then like an alcoholic on Death Door is just like, you know what? I'm going to have to do that. You're not going to get the no shirt.
No, I won't do that to my neighbors. Listen, before we get to our primary target, though, real quickly, Fraser, you've got some awesome stuff coming up in August because there is a solar eclipse here in North America.
Yeah, so as people probably know, the total solar eclipse, the Great American Eclipse, is going to be happening on August 21st, 2017, and it's going to be crossing from Oregon all the way down through, like, many states to South Carolina, and it's going to be a total solar eclipse. It's going to be one of those most amazing things to see in the sky. You've absolutely got to go. If you haven't already, make plans. Get yourself to the eclipse path of totality and watch this happen. We're going to be in St. Louis. We've got a hotel that we've booked, but it's totally booked. I apologize. I'm not advertising so much as bragging. Yeah, exactly. I'm humble bragging. We're totally booked up. But no, I'm nagging you, the viewer, to remember that this is going to be one of those transcendent experiences of your life.
Now, this isn't going to be like the last time astronomers told us to fix our clocks with the Y2K bug. This one's real, right?
This one's real. So, if you haven't already, at the very least, get your hands on some kind of eclipse glasses, some way to protect your eyes during the eclipse. Figure out where the eclipse path is going to get closest to you and plot some plans to make your way up to cross the eclipse path and give it a watch. You've only got now 3 months.
Yeah. August 21st, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And now there is going to be another one in 2024. So this will be like, this will whet your appetite. And then 2024, you're going to come back around and watch another one. So enjoy, you lucky Americans.
So watch what you want, the eclipse, where you want, as long as it's on the eclipse path, and when you want, as long as it's August 21st.
The moment of totality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just came back from the United States. I was actually in Brian's neck of the woods, and I was just binge watching and gorging on American television.
Oh, great. That's right. For you, we're like Golden Corral. You come on down, man. And you're like, wait, all of it? I can have
HBO
all of it?
What is all this stuff? Yeah. YouTube Red. I kept saying, you should get a copy of YouTube Red. But I couldn't bring that home with me.
No. Yeah. No, you couldn't.
Yeah. No. Someday. Someday, maybe. But let's get on to our primary target. Now, we talked before about Facebook's plans for original shows. First, they were expected in April. Then April came, and they were expected in mid-June. Now we're getting closer to mid-June. Recode reports they've been put off to July or August. How are we feeling about social networks becoming video channels? We got a few other things going on here. I mean, Facebook's announced a deal with Major League Baseball. They've announced a deal with ESL to stream the Intel Extreme Masters events and a few other esports things. And even like Musical.ly, which parents ask your kids, Musical.ly is a video sharing app that's used by tweens for the most part. Musical.ly talking to Viacom and NBC about making original shows that encourage community participation. Brian, I mean, is this the future? Is it social networks become our new TV networks?
You know, so this is one of those moments that I think it's a good idea to take the 1,000-foot view, because we are tied up in, well, Facebook means this to me, Twitter means that to me, but it doesn't matter what any of these things mean to us. To be honest, I totally thought we would have seen more success with all of these programs faster. I would have thought that in a place where everybody's already talking about the baseball game, that's a good place to bring the baseball game so that they can watch it there. However, I've been trying to resolve this disconnect between my expectations and reality, because the reality is it's moving extremely slowly. We're getting very few people watching. They're not super – people aren't flocking to it. And if I'm going to conjure a guess, it's going to be because every time I mention that the number one way I watch television, a movie, is on a desktop computer, it gets looks from everyone's. Millennials are like, why aren't you just watching it on your phone? Old people are like, no, movies go in the TV room. And I think a lot of people don't want to watch. If you're on a mobile device, I assume that you're either watching it on a postage stamp size thing and keeping an eye on chat, or you're watching it full screen, in which case you can't do the chat at the same time. If you're watching it on your desktop, you're weird and alone. Nobody watches on laptops. And then if you're watching on TV, you're asking, why do I want to go through Twitter or through Facebook? Why don't I just watch this on cable? That's the best guess I have.
You're young at heart, because the numbers we've seen is that the younger demographics are the ones watching on desktop and mobile. And that's where the social networks think they have an advantage. Fraser, what do you think of this?
Well, I mean, whenever I hear about any media coming up at all, my response is always like, if it's good, I'll enjoy it. And if it's bad, I won't. Right. That's it. That's the beginning and the end of that. And so in this case, it is content that will be delivered by a different mechanism. Everyone's got Facebook. Hey, everyone, you should watch this new show and it's going to be available. Click this link. And then you click that link and, whoa, you happen to be in Facebook, but now you're watching this show. And if the show's good, then you'll want to watch another episode. And if it's not, then next time that link comes across your bow, you will avoid it. And, you know, same thing with Musical.ly. So, I mean, each of these platforms is a distribution channel and is also a, you know, like a content marketing platform at the same time, and will distribute the content. But I don't know, it's like it's all just seamless now. It's sort of disappearing the in-between spaces in between what is the show that you watch and how you find out about it.
You know, and especially with so much of it being sports content in the early days, which again makes sense for live viewing because that's what you want. But in general, where in day-to-day life do most people see sports on a screen? It's always almost exclusively in the background at either social events, at a bar, or even at home, in which case, you know, you picture dad sitting on the couch. Very rarely do I picture a dad nowadays with the game on giving the game his full attention. Not even you, Tom, for your beloved St. Louis teams. Do you watch live and give it your full attention, or are you doing other stuff?
I wonder. I would like to know the facts behind that, because a lot of people do watch sports in the background, but I also know people who are true sports fans, and don't hold me up as that. True sports fans do give it their whole attention. And back in the day when I was fanatic about baseball, I would sit on that couch and watch every pitch and only pull my attention away during the commercial break. So they exist, but it's a fair question of like, how many people are doing that? And how many people would just like have it on when they're out to eat or waiting for something just to kind of keep an eye on the game?
What if this was an Emperor's Clothes moment where everybody only saw one number and that was total number of households that had the game on for years and years and years? And now that we have a chance for, like, if you're really watching, you could click this button and watch. If you're not really watching, then you won't bother to do it. And we're discovering just how many people had sports on that aren't really watching.
Or maybe had it on because they had a cable package and it was placed in a convenient way where they're like, oh, I guess I'll just put on the game, right?
Right.
And on their smartphone, suddenly it's like, oh, well, I have this wealth of things that my friends are telling me about and it's not the game. Live is baseball and sports, and we talk about that a lot, but it's also award shows. It's also a few live performances, music, stuff like that. Coachella was a huge live event. So I don't know. I look at this and I think all of the networks are working really hard to figure out how to gracefully make a transition that doesn't undermine their current audience so they can be in a package on the internet. What if by the time they make that graceful transition, the eyeballs of the young and growing demographics of the 18 to 34 are like, oh, but we're watching this new show on Twitter and on Facebook, and we don't care about paying for a bundle. We'll watch Game of Thrones later, whatever.
But I think that's the problem, right? Is that, you know, all of these old school networks, be it baseball, be it NBC, you know, Fox, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, they have this built-in infrastructure that grew up in the olden days, right? And then there's all these new distribution platforms, and they're trying to take their media that was created in this old distribution era and try to bring it into these new platforms, be it Facebook, be it Snapchat, Musical.ly, whatever. And the problem is, I think, that they're not going to make enough revenue in this new platform using the kinds of methods of making money that have grown up organically. It's going to be the pure play stuff like what's happening on Twitch or what's happening on YouTube, where you've got creators that have figured out a way to cobble together a business strategy, perhaps some kind of modern rogues that are then able to be successful and survive on this new platform. I can just imagine, like, baseball kind of going, well, we can make ourselves visible on Facebook. And then, you know, they only make 1% of the amount of money that they're expecting to make their existing creaking infrastructure survive. And then go, like, you know, there are executives at, say, Discovery Channel that make more than my entire organization does. And yet, you know, so that's, I think that is, so that is the problem. And so can there be organic content from these different places? Is there something that can grow up and exist on Musical.ly? Is there something that can appear on Facebook and become a popular show using Facebook only? Anytime anyone tries to take a thing they do in some other form and bring it into one of these platforms, I'm skeptical.
You know, I got to tell you, man, I'm glad that there are more players at the game, you know, with Facebook getting in and stealing away some opportunities from Twitter or whatever. But as a content producer, I am unfairly prejudiced, totally biased against Facebook. Let's say they came up and they're like, Modern Rogues, the best thing ever. We want to showcase you and make it a big deal. Like, I've just been burned with so many times of building up follower bases and then being charged for the privilege of accessing the exact groups of people that I assembled that I don't know. Like, I would be very leery of it for some reason. And there's nothing but my own personal bias coming through in this.
Could Facebook come up with a new sport?
Oh, I didn't hear either of you. Say again.
Oh, I was going to say, could Facebook come up with a new sport, right? Start with a curling league or a croquet league from badminton league from day one, an esports league,
and then build it up
from there. Or even their own baseball league.
Well, and that's what they're doing. They're saying, look, I mean, it would be silly to start a new baseball league because there are millions of people who will watch this, right? Even if the audience declines, it's still huge. But esports is growing, And this is the time to get in on that and then bring it over and say, hey, we, the people who watch this are here.
Well, and keep in mind, who are a very likely audience are oftentimes teenagers and younger, most of whom have their own screens, but they would have to lobby for permission to put it on the big screen from their mm-hmm. parent figures who won't understand this crazy esports thing anyway, which only makes it a more obvious match from that. It seems like they should be pushing harder in that direction.
You know what we should be pushing harder in the direction of, Brian, is getting us to that 1,850 patrons that we need to break up the spoiler and time feed into accessible bite-sized chunks that can fit on these smaller screens.
Yeah,
even
man.
Though they might be audio in a lot of cases.
As a matter of fact, we already got our first email from our first volunteer. I went ahead and looped in both you and Bryce, I think.
That was our second or third volunteer email.
Oh, wow. So that's the first one I saw. We already have people lining up. The idea is, of course, if you're a longtime listener, you know that on It's Spoiler in Time, we take you through our impressions of shows that we're watching as we're watching them. They're not real time. We don't watch everything exactly when it comes out, and we don't post everything exactly when it comes out. And so there are people who watch it years later, and it's the hard as hell to find our impressions of all these things. So we are going to start an initiative. All we need is 1,850 patrons, and we are 1724 of the way there. What, 136 more people?
26.
And 126. Yeah, I can add 126 more people, and we are good to go, man.
Yeah, we just need 126 of you right now. Patreon.com/cordkillers. Sign up. You are one of them.
I'm in. I'm already one of you.
You're too late.
That's
you're fine. In the masses.
All right. Let's talk about how to watch all this stuff. And staying in the sports arena, a lot of sports fans have been wondering, hey, when's ESPN going to be easier to get? I keep telling you, if it's worth $20 to you, you can get ESPN right now as Sling TV, and it's available on all your platforms. But ESPN is in trouble. It's realizing a decline in its subscribers, and that is going to hurt its ability to sell ads if it doesn't do something. So ESPN is going to offer a single viewership number that combines their traditional cable and satellite numbers with the live streams that you get from a Sling TV or a PlayStation View and its Watch ESPN app. And I think this is the most interesting to some of us, out-of-home viewers. When you're in a bar or a restaurant, you will now possibly be included in the ratings as well. This is done in partnership with Nielsen. ESPN estimated if they had done this in Q1, it would have boosted its numbers by 12%. And it's estimated that ESPN has lost 12 million subscribers since 2011.
So in all seriousness, I'd like to picture the board meeting where it's like, we got serious problems, gentlemen. Our numbers are down, way down. I want to hear solutions. Someone's like, we could offer more attractive packages. We could lower our prices. We could give free trials. Wait a minute. What if we change the way we calculate the numbers? Then it won't be a problem at all.
Everyone? Yeah.
Although having said that, it is number one, there's no way this is a good sign for ESPN's numbers. They've known that this is a more accurate metric for a very long time. But if your numbers are huge and stable, it would be beneath you to engage in this kind of rejiggering of the numbers. And it would only call into question like, hey, why are you guys doing that? Their numbers have to be so bad that they're taking the double hit of bad numbers and the very public-facing reorientation of changing the way they qualify the numbers that they give out. That's not great. However, having said that, the reasons for it are not great. I do think it's great that they're counting everyone. I think it's great that they're counting people at bars. I think we were talking about this before the show, Tom. I think that it's not unfair and not unreasonable for them to charge essentially a ticket fee, like basically pay-per-view style thing, because during game days, bars make more money because more people are there. I think advertisers, it's worth, if you're going to place a big fat Miller Lite ad in the middle of a cards game, then you're going to want to know what percentage of the audience is literally within 10 feet of a Miller bar, a Miller tap at any time. Right. So I think it's overall good, terrible that they're in a situation that they have to make this very painful, terrible for them. Not for us. We think it's great. Burn.
What if they switched to esports? What if they just started running, you know?
Well, and they're doing it. ESPN has
League of Legends
to carry esports. Dead.
What if they had the football players play League of Legends?
Why
would
not?
Would that do better?
Did I ever tell you about the time that I went to E3 and there was all these EA Sports posters up promising that Sugar Ray Leonard was going to take on one of the current champs. I forget what it was, but it was like, there's no way there. And sure enough, there on the floor, they had a boxing ring set up and everything. I was like, what? There's actually, they got these two legends they're going to fight. And of course, then when it came time, they were playing the game versions of themselves.
Well,
standing
the NBA
in the ring.
Is doing it right. The NBA has an electronic version of its league starting, where each franchise is drafting professional esports players to play NBA 2K on game consoles professionally under their name. So there'll be a Golden State Warriors real life basketball team and a Golden State Warriors esports team.
What if we could use that Elon Musk neural lace and like jam it into the football players' heads and then have the esports players drive the football players around like robots?
Man, yeah, that's the next evolution right there.
It's got to be.
You no longer have to wait for the graphics to render. That's thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would cast this as such a dire move by ESPN. A lot of networks, ABC had already done this. I know ABC and ESPN are the same company, but NBC wants to do it, but is critical of how Nielsen calculates this. I think all the networks want to have this larger number because it means they can sell more ads and they don't have to differentiate the prices. And right now the prices are still historically higher for regular viewing. So if they can kind of bring some of that money into digital, which right now is under monetized, then they're going to be happy about that. But I don't disagree with you, Brian, that ESPN is being forced to do things because it is worried. And it's, you know, the fact that it had to lay off a bunch of people is evidence of that.
Yeah. But I'm going to say that in the end, I'm hoping it'll be a good thing. I mean, this is a significant crack in the dam that says, hey, we're giving up on Nielsen old school real time eyeballs watching DVR shifted or whatever. Like all of that matters so less and less and less.
Now, those of you who are like, I don't really care about any of this because I don't watch sports. Well, there are companies angling towards you, too. Variety says Viacom CEO Bob Bakish told the J.P. Morgan Global Technology Media and Telecom Conference in Boston that Viacom is in advanced talks with one pay TV company. Now, the implication is it's an online streaming company like a PlayStation Viewer Sling. He didn't name the company, and he didn't clearly say it was an over-the-top service, but Viacom would be part of a sports-free entertainment pack that would sell for between $10 to $20 a month. And last month, Bloomberg had reported that AMC and Discovery were also potentially part of the bundle. So it's gone from rumor on the Viacom part to Viacom publicly saying, yeah, we're in talks for that.
You know, something I've never seen in advertising, never seen in marketing. Maybe I'm not doubting that it has existed in some form, but for the first time with this generation incoming, I could actually picture being a smart move. Is a negative sports campaign, just bagging on sports fans, making them act like all dude bros and
counter programming, right?
Exactly. It's just like, hey, man, you know, I never would have thought that would work, but I feel like if there was ever a time in my life, this is
well,
it.
Well, you can play up that cost, like, what? I'm paying how much to watch something I hate?
Right.
Well, I'm not doing that.
Portray it as a bully, you know, hitting you up, taking your lunch money and so on.
Of all the things you could be watching, you want to watch this?
Yeah.
Instead, you should be watching the MTV Music Awards.
Yeah, like a real countercultural icon.
I mean, that's the other thing. Viacom's in trouble. Bakish is doing his best to kind of right the boats. He's been trying to repair relationships with traditional companies while he's been going around pulling Viacom off of channels. Like, Viacom channels are no longer on the PlayStation Vue right now. So it is clear that Viacom is in damage control mode with its traditional partners, which makes me wonder if this really would be an online service or if it would be something like what Comcast is doing, where it's providing an online version of its service to its internet customers.
Yeah. Man, I guess I'm out of steam. This is the sound of what I sound like when I have nothing left to say.
Yeah, Sports you're ball. Just overwhelmed by the idea of AMC, Discovery, and Viacom in one package for less than $20. I mean, what? It's your dream come true.
I mean, you're talking to it. There's.
I mean, honestly, this is actually pretty telling. It's like because consumers out there are like, Another package?
Yes. Well, and you're talking to somebody who for our jobs, you know, I know I'm over redundant. I know I'm overpaying. Yes, I bought Better Call Saul and then whoopsie realized I'm still paying for Sling or whatever. And it's like another one, but this time it's only $20 extra you're going to be paying. And I was just like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. Sure it'll be great.
All right, let's talk about what to watch in our Under Surveillance segment.
My dear, it's all about location.
Under Surveillance.
Hey, did you hear about that film that everyone booed the Netflix logo at Cannes Film Festival? Well, it comes out June 28th on Netflix. Korean director Bong Joon-ho, Snowpiercer guy.
Shame on those people booing Netflix, by the way. Shame on you.
Maybe they were just saying boom.
No, they were not.
June. No.
June.
He has adapted the 70s French comic into a movie called Okja. And it's got an ecological message, and it's
But it's got a complicated one, though.
Cuddly animals, and yeah.
I watched the whole trailer on this. It's so surreal and absolutely wonderful because it deals with the very real aspect. The idea is that there's a super pig created that mm-hmm. has all the meat in the world, has a small environmental impact, solves all the problems with pigs, with porcine meat industry. Only it's cute. And because it's cute, now all of a sudden you have the problem of like, well, do we want to? You want to tackle climate change or not? And then I don't know. I love this setup, and I thought I enjoyed Snowpiercer when I watched it. I loved it when I saw all the video breakdowns of just how brilliant the direction is, and all the little things that I didn't notice when watching it. So I'm very encouraged. What about you, Fraser?
The smarter they are, the better they taste.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's what right? I say about people. Variety
wasn't
says
there a
Netflix
Margaret
has...
Atwood book, Oryx and Crick, that came out that was sort of on that same vein, which is like, you know, genetically modified creatures that are fairly smart and fairly delicious. And that's like, you know, like it takes your carnivore-ness and like really sticks it in your face. So
yeah. It's a new definition for the term smart food. Variety says Netflix has paid $20 million for the rights to Bubbles, a stop motion animated film about Michael Jackson's pet chimpanzee.
What?
They have done that. Netflix is out buying films at Cannes, right? And Netflix doesn't buy films because they think they'll be blockbuster hits. Netflix buys them because they look at their data and they're like, aha, we have a subsection of our audience that will love this, so we will buy it.
Yeah. It's just, that's not a documentary. That's just going to be like Curious George and...
Well, there's a lot of big names on
documentary.
It.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi from Hunt of the Wilder People and Thor Ragnarok. The guy from Mr. Fantastic Fox, Dan Starburns is making it.
No kidding?
Produced by Starburns.
Oh, that's right. In fact, now I hear this, I even remember Dan Harmon dropping a hint about it. It's going to be great then.
Yeah, if Dan Harmon's in, then it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
CBS debuted a trailer for Star Trek Discovery. It is set before the original series of Star Trek, but after Enterprise. The trailer featured quite a bit of Captain Philippa Georgiou, played by Michelle Yeoh. She is the captain of the Shenzhou. The Shenzhou will not be in most episodes because a series is called Star Trek Discovery, about a ship called Discovery. So we're not seeing a lot of the Discovery. In fact, any in the trailer. Sonequa Martin-Green, however, plays the main character, Commander Michael Burnham, and she is all over the trailer. She will end up on the Discovery somehow, one expects. Show is now promised to arrive in the fall. Still doesn't have an exact date.
So that trailer that you just showed, you were just showing, Bryce, is exactly the point where I was like, what? When they're like, hey, I got you a spaceship. And then it's like, enters the atmosphere. Like, that's the way it would work. That's the way you would let a person know that they're going to be in command of a new starship. Take them out to the middle of a desert. There you go. There, that's yours.
That's not hers, though, and she doesn't become captain of a starship. That's the other problem with this trailer, is it leads everyone watching it to the absolute wrong conclusions.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, well, anyway,
I have a feeling that this is all footage from episode one, and it's the only thing they have ready, and that's why this trailer was made that way.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, man, they're in a very precarious position because Star Trek has in most of my lifetime, been a robust franchise that had the leeway to make long, experimental, dragged out, like, we're gonna set up this Bajorian Kardashian, I'll say it, thing for a very long time, and then we're gonna pay off in a series, not even on The Next Generation, on some other series and all that stuff. It has none of those benefits right now. It is a franchise in flux. And it is being made a linchpin of an entire very expensive gamble on CBS's part. I would not want to be working on this project at this time, given all the people you'd have to answer to.
It feels like it's a rocky ride right now.
And losing the showrunner.
Oh yeah, when it lost Brian Fuller early on, that was not good. Netflix has ordered 10 episodes of The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We showed you a bit at the top of the show. Well, we showed you a bit of Jim Henson at the top of the show. They don't have a lot of this yet. It's a prequel to the movie. It will feature three Gelflings who discover the horrifying secret behind the Skeksis' power and set off on a rebellion.
Dude, I loved The Dark Tower so, so deeply. What a surreal
Dark Tower was a crystal. Really good
damn
it, book.
Right. Dark Tower is a great book by Stephen King.
I'm just saying unrelatedly. God damn it. No, I, The Crystal Tower. The crisscross and the Tower of Black. Yes, I loved all of those.
The Stand Tower.
but the art design on The Dark Crystal was fantastic.
Finally, Netflix is developing and producing an English language TV show based on The Witcher.
Yes.
The Polish novels, not the video game that is based on the same Polish novels. And author Andrzej Sapkowski, who has had no involvement in the video games, will serve as creative consultant on the television series.
Ooh, that's not usually a great sign.
It's a great sign. If you've read these books.
Okay.
They're amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, because The Shining was pretty good too. And then Stephen King fixed it with his made for TV movie because, you know, he didn't like that theatrical hack job.
Are you objecting to having the author as a creative consultant or to the idea of bracing it on the books instead of the video games?
Specifically, like the only analogs that I have in my mental file for authors who have not had input on the better known version of a thing and decide to fix it coming in with their version oftentimes are met with less success.
I see where you're going. Okay.
Right. But it comes down to one problem here, right? Which is how often are movies and television shows based on books good?
George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones, James S.A. Corey's The Expanse.
Right? Yeah, tons.
How often are television shows or movies based on video games good?
Never.
Almost never.
Never.
Do you know what the highest rated Rotten Tomatoes video game movie is? Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. Either that or Lara Croft Tomb Raider. I think those are the top two.
So it's just bad mojo. It's like literally bad luck to say you're basing it on the video game.
That's interesting. So if for
and
no
Sapkowski
other reason. Sapkowski
isn't fixing anything. Sapkowski, when they made the video game, said, sure, I'll sign here. I'll take a check. But I don't want anything to do with it. You go do your video game because I don't want to be in your way. He's paid no attention to it. When he writes his books, he doesn't pay attention to what's happened in the video games. He doesn't criticize them either, though. He's like, yeah, they're fine. That's not my world. My world's the books. So this, I hope, maybe I'm just hoping, will avoid what you're talking about where someone's coming like, let me fix this. Because Sapkowski has taken a very different approach of like, I'm not even going to be involved in that. You just go run with it and do what you want. You guys are great.
That's interesting. That puts it into a very narrow subcategory. So who knows? Anyone's guess.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the video game though. So, you know, I don't know if that really counts for anything, but I don't ever want a TV show or movie to be made on a video game that I love. Cause that will destroy my love for the thing.
Mm. Interesting.
All right. Let's talk about what we are watching. Starting with you, Fraser, what have you been watching?
I'm watching American Gods, which has been great, and I'm surprised Brian's lost his interest on it. I'm really enjoying it.
Now, keep in mind, this is an extraordinary time for television. There's five shows a week that I'm supposed to be keeping up on, and half of them are ones that are spousal share shows, and American Gods was that. But I don't want to say I have a problem with it because I haven't finished watching it, but I fell off just because I wasn't seeing enough. It was relying very heavily on the mystery and the strangeness and the sleepy dreamlike quality of this second reality under reality. does it pick up? Does it get more concrete, or does it stay airy over the last few episodes?
It stays airy, for sure.
Okay.
So we binge watched Master of None.
That's
on
great.
Netflix. Oh, was it good? Oh my God. I haven't laughed out loud as hard as we have in a long time watching this show. There's just some really great construction of television episodes. I think it's one of Netflix's best offerings.
Is this season one or season two or both?
Season two is out now. Season two just dropped.
Got it.
I'm so sad that Aziz has said he's probably not going to do a third season though. Cause he's like, I've done all my stories.
Oh, really? Well, then they go. Go out while you're ahead, then.
It's probably smart.
Yeah. And we've been catching up on Mozart in the City, which I had never watched. And then we got Amazon Prime in Canada, so now I'm binging through all the Amazon Prime stuff. And I really enjoy it. It's a good show.
Very cool. Brian, one thing I'll add about American Gods, first of all, 100% agree on Master of None. We tried to slow ourselves down so that we wouldn't watch it all too fast, and we just couldn't stop. American Gods this week, Brian, is, I believe, and I may be mistaken, but it is almost entirely made of material not explained in the book.
Ooh, okay. That'll be fun for me. I'll enjoy that.
I have been watching most of the things they've been talking about, American Gods, Justified, Better Call Saul, Fargo. I also watched Alien Covenant. I am not a huge Alien fan, so I came to it knowing, you know, not really comparing it to every other Alien movie, and I had a great time. It felt very similar to Alien movies and not Prometheus. Now, a lot of people have been dinging it, saying it's got too much Prometheus in it. It has definitely some connections to Prometheus because David is a character from Prometheus that's in it, but it just felt like an Alien movie to me, and I had a good time. Other people are trashing it, saying it's the worst thing that's ever graced, you know, film ever. So your mileage may vary on that. The other thing that I spent almost all of last night watching were the first four episodes of Twin Peaks. If you want to find out everything I think about them, you can subscribe to my other show, Damn Fine Podcast, with Ron Richards, where that's all we talk about is Twin Peaks. But the short version is, this series is for people who either really love Twin Peaks and especially the Lynch take on Twin Peaks, or people who just really love Lynch's sensibility. And maybe they never got into Twin Peaks, but honestly, you could start right in if you like Lynch and really enjoy it. But it is not for everybody.
Interesting. That kind of challenges me. Makes me want to give it a try. That's interesting.
And the other thing I did in preparation for Twin Peaks, I watched Mulholland Drive, which there's a lot of theories about whether it connects to the Twin Peaks universe. In the first four episodes, there was nothing that would directly connect it to Mulholland Drive, but we'll see. Brian, what have you been watching?
Man, I got caught up on Fargo, Better Call Saul, and Justified. We'll talk about those in spoiler in time. Also watched the documentary Get Me Roger Stone, which is fascinating. It's fascinating, and there are people who are going to watch it with their fists shaking in the air like, oh, you Roger Stone, you, oh, why I oughta. And it's very, very relevant, very, very recent, and very, very fascinating, super engaging. Also watched the new Tracy Morgan Netflix special. I believe it's the first one since he had his terrible crash, called Staying Alive. And it was good, but mainly it was just awesome to see him being Tracy Morgan, and you know, you could tell it was a getting back to work special.
Gotcha. Bryce, what have you been on the lookout for?
Hey, we got a letter from Gary from Illinois. He wanted to tell us about Nat Geo's genius, Albert Einstein. He writes, I have a suggestion for your What to Watch segment. National Geographic is a new period drama, Genius, which follows the life of Albert Einstein. The story covers his early years through his time as a patent clerk to his later years as a physicist who developed the theory of relativity. And of course, there's a backdrop of events surrounding World War II to make things even more interesting. The show stars Jeffrey Rush as an older Albert Einstein, Johnny Flynn as a young Albert, and Samantha Cawley as Mileva Merrick. The show is very well acted and the settings are beautiful. Best yet, the first episode is free to watch on Amazon Prime, although you will have to pay for additional episodes. The show is worth a watch, says Gary from Illinois. That's right. This is airing on Nat Geo. You can buy it on Amazon Prime, or if you have a cable authentication, you can watch it on NationalGeographic.com or the Nat Geo TV apps. And Fraser, you've actually been keeping up with this show, right?
Yeah. So actually, Nat Geo let me know about it. couple of months ago, and I was sort of was on my radar to watch it, and they, and, you know, the episodes have been coming out, and I've been able to watch them, and they're fantastic. I'm really enjoying them. They are a little light on the science side of it so far, so you know they have some interesting ways to try and help you understand as he's trying to piece together relativity, and they do a good job of telling the stories as he goes down some of the sort of dead ends as he tries to understand it, which was neat to see him piece together these ideas one after the other. But it's very much, it's about a love story. It's very much about his relationship to his wife, to another scientist that he meets, and building up to what it was like to be a Jewish scientist in, as the Nazis were taking over Germany and things were getting a lot more uncomfortable for him. So if you're looking for a really deep understanding of relativity and things like that, it's not that deep. But if you're looking for a really kind of neat take on Einstein, a biopic, it's great. I mean, I think it's one of the best made biopics of a scientist that I could think of that's ever been done. And so I think, you know, kudos to Nat Geo for doing this. And if they keep this up, you know, there could be other scientists that they could take on. And to just, you know, to do – for them to do a story about scientists, to have Jeffrey Rush be playing the main character, it's all good. Yeah, so definitely give it a watch if you can.
Yeah.
Folks, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, be sure to email us, courtkillers@gmail.com. Real quickly, I mentioned Damn Fine Podcast, the Twin Peaks series that Ron Richards and I are doing. There are a number of Twin Peaks podcasts dominating the top 20 of iTunes right now, and I am proud to say that we are one of them.
Nice.
Last I looked. So if you're a Twin Peaks fan and you want to just jump in and start watching along with us, we did a recap of all the episodes from the two seasons of the television show, Fire Walk With Me and the books. You can go back and listen to those if you want, or you can just jump in now and parts 1 and 2 of the new Return series are up now in our feed. Ron Richards and I will be recording parts 3 and 4 reactions tonight. And if you're a Patreon, you'll get those as soon as we're done. Otherwise, they will come when they air on Showtime next week. And then we'll just keep putting them out every week as soon as we get them done, first to patrons and then a day later on the feed. So check that out, damnfinepodcast.com. Well, let's move on to the front lines.
Yep.
Front lines.
Vivo launched a new app for its music videos exclusively on Apple TV. Or another way to say it, Vivo has launched a new redesign of its apps, but they only put it out on the Apple TV OS so far. The new design tries to make it easier to navigate, offers personal recommendations.
How big do you think Vivo could get? Because they're one of the dominant – we've talked about this weird interplay where it's like they're big on YouTube. But of course, if all things being equal, I assume they would rather be YouTube than be big on YouTube, right?
Right now they have to keep their deal with YouTube, and they're desperately trying to grow their homegrown app to the point where they can afford to break that deal.
Does so YouTube doesn't make them enough money to cover their content. Back to what we were talking about earlier, where
YouTube makes them tons of money.
But does it make them enough money?
No, they want to keep a larger share of the money is what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Pluto TV not only has a nightly show hosted by Sarah Lane, but also has added library of on-demand movies and TV shows. There are lots of good movies like Silence of the Lambs, The Birdcage, Mad Max, and more. However, they also have ALF, which was part of Comic-Con HQ's library, which also used to employ Sarah Lane. Dun, dun, dun!
See, the pattern, Brian. What, Sarah Lane, okay. Launch a new on-demand library, include ALF.
Fair enough.
I don't know what it means, but it has happened twice now.
It just seems somebody's on a conspiracy theory kick here. I love it.
Can you just watch this free?
Yeah.
So I could just watch ALF? I mean, not that I would, but I could.
Yeah.
Hey, man, ain't no shame in your ALF.
I could watch Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Ads. It's ad supported.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's just free. I don't have to sign up.
We've been
nothing.
Talking about Pluto long before they employed Sarah.
No,
Lane.
I know, and like, I've tried to, but it used to be like play. It was like, you know, like lean back and watch a bunch of
right, and it's
Vsauce videos, right? But
yep.
All right.
All right. Dish is the first television service to make its hardware compatible with Amazon voice services. That means you can talk to Amazon Echo's assistant and have it do things like change the channel to Bravo or rewind 30 seconds. All you have to do is pair up the Dish TV skill from the Amazon Voice Services skills store and then pair it with your Dish Hopper.
Awesome. Man, I can't pronounce it. Paolo Sorrentino of The Young Pope, did I say it right? Is working on a new series called, drumroll please, The New Pope. No idea who it'll be or how it will relate to The Young Pope. It goes into production late 2018. No comment on whether or not it is a stolen copy of a script Justin and I wrote starring Andrew Dice Clay as the world's most unlikely pope.
He refuses to acknowledge your contribution to this.
It's, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. As of yet. He hasn't denied it either.
New Pope. They're two different series. Okay. Just trying to get that in my head. Young Pope, New Pope. Epic's new cast feature in its app now supports Fire TV. So from the Epic's app, you can cast to your Fire TV devices. And of course, there's now an Epic's app for the Fire TV as well, if you don't want to do the casting.
And also YouTube TV just added AirPlay to support its app. That means if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, you can now use an Apple TV to stream your viewing to a TV. Previously, you could only do it through Chromecast. See, it's easy to cut the cord.
Well, yeah, I mean, Now you've got one more. I mean, what are you trying to say?
I'm just trying to say, like, even as I read, like, this is universally a good thing. This is a substantial increase to the quality of service that for people. And even as I'm saying it, it's like, you can't jeep-jop the doobie-doo and fling-flong to the blurdy-garg. And then it's on your TV. Couldn't be simple.
I got nothing to add to any of this stuff. Just, like, I'm just, like, staring over the border.
If you use the device and or the service, this is good for you to know.
Correct. And
that's about it.
Plug those things together.
But also, it just makes me very aware of why people, why a certain older demographic might be less interested in cutting.
Well, that's what this whole show is documenting. Is that move from it's all Netflix to we've got choices to it's still not easy to the one day when we could finally go like, all we have left to talk about is what to watch because watching it's easy now.
That's right,
and it's crazy. We should get Google Home in Canada this summer.
Nice. Yeah. New Pope, Young Pope, Classic Pope. That would be the next one.
Oh, Pope Classic.
Pope Classic.
Crystal Pope.
Let's move on
Crystal
to Pope. From the front.
Diet Pope. Dr. Pope.
Hey, Robbie Stone wrote in. New boss here, he says. Thanks, boss. After listening to the show and realizing I could switch to PlayStation View and still watch sports, I decided to make the leap. After an hour on the phone and an hour in the Comcast office, I'm now saving $95 a month and still watching everything I was before. Thank you for everything you do. Well, it's glad to hear it, Robbie.
Cherry Pope Zero. been sitting on that one for a while. Meanwhile, Mr. Steve Pope from Too Much Scrolling wrote in saying, Brian's cable fig leaf is showing. Hulu subscribers who add on Showtime can authenticate with their Hulu credentials on Showtime's Anytime app and see live Showtime. Twin Peaks is not only 21st century entertainment, it's being viewed in 21st century ways. Thank you very much, Steve.
That's excellent. Hey, Cord Killers team, says Mitch, that PBS Kids streaming stick sounds incredible. I just messaged it to my wife and her immediate response is that would be fantastic in the car. Our van has an in-car entertainment system with an HDMI port. The preloaded content means we wouldn't have to stream it and use phone data on a long drive. We'll get one, test it as soon as cash flow allows. Mitch, if you do, write in and let us know how your test goes. We'd love to hear.
Yeah, no, it looks
fantastic.
Feels
like this will tear open the fabric of the cosmos here to watch TV from a car in your car.
Watch TV. Yeah, that's right. Because just as the entertainment is in your car, the entertainment lives in that little car, the little race car filled with all those Sesame Streets.
Yeah. I think this is a very dangerous proposition.
Cole writes in saying, hey, guys, been a longtime listener and love the show. Finally signed up to support the show via Patreon. By the way, 126. I'm probably the furthest thing from a cord cutter. I have accounts with DirecTV at home, Xfinity X1 at a rental property where I also have my man cave, and Dish Network at our lake house. Yep, I've got a problem. Apparently not with three properties. Your show does a great job keeping me informed of what's going on, and I get a lot of value from it. I'm glad I've signed on with Patreon and hope to remain a supporter for a long time. Need to listen to Spoiler in Time 170 to hear what Brian thinks of American Gods. I dropped HBO at the Lake House to sign with Stars to watch this. I'm not sure what to think. Loving The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. Thanks for the heads up. Keep up the good work. Your Welcome. Newest boss, Cole. Thank you very much, Cole. Can't thank you enough.
Yeah, no, this is proof positive, folks, that even you folks who have cable subscriptions or three cable subscriptions can still get something out of the show. Finally, Aaron wrote in with a good long explanation, and we'll have that in our show notes, of how he was able to cut his DirecTV cable, and he was worried about the retention thing, so he informed the first agents that he needed to cancel the service because he switched to his local cable provider when they offered him a great deal. This was a little white lie, but I wanted to have a firm reason for canceling and use the past tense to clarify that the decision was already made. He had to tell him, like, I don't know how much we're paying. My wife made the deal. I just want to cancel. Another life hack that he used during this whole thing was making sure he was smiling, even though he was on the phone, when he said anything to the customer service agent so that he sounded happy, right? And that helps just smooth the waters. But Brian, you were saying a bunch of the emails we got of people saying how they deal with cancellations said something about lying.
Yeah, no, as a percentage, and I actually did the math on this, we got so many responses. Everybody, thank you for everybody who suggested ways to get off the phone quickly and make uncabling very easy. I did a tally, and of those had suggestions that involved lying, they were, 100% of the suggestions. Not one person suggested anything other than lying.
Wait, hold on. Show your math.
All of them equals 100. But meanwhile, yeah, dude, that was kind of funny to me because, like, it never even occurred to me to – I mean, I guess it occurred to me. You could lie, whatever. Who cares?
You, the host of Scam School?
Yeah. but I thought it was curious to figure out a way to navigate those waters without ever lying. And that's what I thought was interesting. But apparently a lot of people say, like, no. In fact, if you're going to lie, I say lie outrageously. Just say, they were devoured in the great ascension.
I have adopted a new belief system that abjures television.
Yes. Oh, and as far as the smiling on the phone, please do that. Look, love the cog, but hate the machine. Right. I mean, hate the machine, but love the cog. It's not their fault. That they're just trying to make money, put food on the table.
And that doesn't mean when we say Fraser Cain is a content machine that we don't love Fraser Cain.
Oh, no. I mean, I like his amygdala. That's the one cog I love. Man. I'm deeply in love with. The rest of the machine terrifies me.
Best amygdala in the business, Fraser.
Hey, man, where could people see so much more of your lovely, lovely content?
Well, obviously I do Astronomy Cast. I do my YouTube channel, but that thing right there, the go back up, Bryce, the Mars Project, Humans to Mars, that thing there is our new video. We just released it today. I'm especially proud of this. So actually it's the YouTube video that we did. There you go. That one, you're probably going to get an ad. Oh no, you don't. 'Cause you're on YouTube Red. It's jam packed full of fun information about this crazy plan that Wernher von Braun had come up with on how to send humans to Mars, and I really enjoyed it. So that's a collaboration with me and Amy Shearer Tidal, and super fun. So we've been doing that. Man, I don't know, too many projects. So go to Universe Today, go to our YouTube channel, and enjoy.
UniverseToday.com, YouTube.com/UniverseToday, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I may be appearing in someone else's television show sometime soon, maybe.
But you're a modern man, Fraser. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you again, man. It's good to have you back on the show.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Our website is courtkillers.com. Our email address is courtkillers@gmail.com. We're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. I'd like to buy the world a pope.
Oh, you beat me to it. Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Court Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/courtkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and
you know, pledging them out. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you could gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go.
It's up to you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.